beginning with verse number 8. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word, Acts chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. We're preaching part 2. When you make it to the city, it will be all right. Amen. Look at somebody, tell them it's going to be all right. God bless you. Amen. Father, help us now to proclaim your truth as only you can. And I pray that you would open my mind to understand your will today in sharing your word. But Lord, open our ears so that we would hear what the Spirit has to say to every one of us. God bless us, that we might be a blessing to others and be useful in your kingdom. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today we're going to talk about two things that are important for us if we're going to allow God to use us. One is trust. Everybody say trust. Trust. The trust factor is important because when you have that level of trust, it develops confidence. You're confident that God will be with you, but you're also confident that what you're doing is going to be effective. It's going to reach somebody. You'll be able to tell people about the goodness of God. I know that we don't have much problem talking to one another about the Lord. To other saved people, we can talk to them with a certain level of confidence, with a certain level of ability. We can say, "Yeah, God is good, and you know, and he's all the time God is good." I know that. But what about when you talk to someone that you never met? What about when you talk to someone that not only have you not met, but you view them as a threat, as someone who may cause you harm? What about the confidence level at that point? You've got to be able to know how to share your faith, to do it with boldness. And as always, you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Do nothing out of your own efforts and out of your own ability. How many of you tried that and didn't work? One, you couldn't get it straight, and then other people, when you did get it straight, they didn't care a hoot about what you were saying. Because they realized that you were not sent by the Holy Spirit. In this verse, it's going to bring out some things about what it means to share as the body of Christ. When we talk about the environment or the city, we're really talking about a gathering of a group of people. Gathering of a group of people. The Lord said to Saul, "Get up, Go into the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. Saul responded. He did exactly what he was told to do. But when he got there, one, he was blind. Two, he didn't know what the plans of God were. And God could have told him on the road to Damascus, but he didn't do that. He was going to send someone, and that person had to have a level of confidence. If you're going to go to somebody, you need to have a certain level of confidence to know what you're talking about. But the other thing is, you need to be able to trust yourself and trust that person that you're going to connect. Does that make sense? As we dig into this, we find that the church lacks a certain level of confidence, and I'll tell you the reason why. One, most of our prayers are geared toward, Lord, keep me safe. Don't let any bad thing happen in my life. Don't let the storms come. If you do, hurry up and speak to them and tell them, be still. Is that us? It nails us. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's through the challenges of life. It's through the valleys and the storms of life that you really learn to trust God. If you never had a problem, you wouldn't know that God could solve them. You wouldn't really know what it meant to lean on His strength. You think, hey, I got it all together. I can just go and life is going. The flowers are going to bloom. The birds are going to sing. The sky's going to be blue. How many of y'all know that that's happening only in a fantasy? Some days you'll have good skies. And you've got to make sure that you have that confidence in God to go about doing what He would have you to do. The other issue that we have is that we like to often pick the people that we want to deal with. I'm all right with this one. I'm not all right with that one. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, I can be comfortable around a certain group of people, but when there's a group of people that I view as a threat, whoa, wait a minute. Wasn't that just like Ananias? I heard about this guy. You know, we've done some investigative work, and he came here to harm the church, and you want me to go where? So he's having this conversation with God, but it's helping him because he's never experienced this before. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to get to the edge of your faith in order to grow. If you're always sitting back waiting for things to happen in your comfort zone, you're not going to grow. Yes, you love the Lord. Nobody said you didn't love the Lord. Yes, you can praise God. Certainly you can. But it's only when you get to that point where you have to say, God, I'm doing my very best, but I cannot move forward because I don't know which way to go. That's when you get in a good place. That's when you get into a place where you can say, God, I'm going to trust you. God will often bring you into places where He told the priest at one point, put your foot in the water and the water will dry up. They said, wait a minute. I thought the water was going to dry up first. No. You've got to step out on faith and then you see things happen. Now notice, Saul is in his place. He's gone into the city. God told him, you're going to find the answer. When you get to the city, you're going to find the answer. But it's been 3 days. It's been three days. Let's dig into this. Let's look at some things that we have to really deal with. And I don't know whether you'd be willing to admit it, but I'm certainly going to admit it. I many times have a lack of trust.
Amen.
What does that do? It prevents me from hearing what God has to say in a clear way. I can read my Bible, but it just doesn't sink in until I trust Him. And then when I trust Him, I will know with confidence, yes, He wants me to do this. How do you get there? That's why we all here. That's why you're here today. That's what we're talking about, is building that confidence level so that you can now move to that place or go on that assignment where God wants you to go and complete the things that he wants done. But notice the other part of that. Not only does it keep me from hearing God clearly, but it prevents me from seeing the other person's need. Oh, did I tell you that's the other part of our prayer? Not only do we pray for safety, but we pray for our stuff. We turn the Lord's Prayer around, give me this day the daily bread, right? Bless me. And there's nothing wrong with you wanting to be blessed, but ladies and gentlemen, if you have a need, you better believe that there's somebody else out there that has a need also. You got to see it God's way. Got to see it God's way. So here's Saul. And I love the way it says in the King James, behold, he prayeth. Why was that important? In order for Ananias to be effective, Saul had to be in a prayerful position, wanting God to do something. He'd met him on the road, but it's easy for us to brush off experience. Oh, that was just a vision. But he couldn't shake the blindness. Not only was he blind physically, he was blind spiritually. What? He wanted to attack God's church of all things. He wanted to do away with this Jesus movement because he thought they were heretics. I just want to be done with them. And then Jesus met him. I told you last week how he met him as the avenger of blood. Saul had killed some of the saints or had been around those who had killed some of his saints. And Jesus at that point controlled his next breath. But isn't it just like God? That when he's got you in the spot where he can take care of you, what he does is shows you mercy. Every one of us in this room today, you have been shown mercy. Here's the good news. God doesn't want to condemn or destroy anybody. He'd rather we repent. And when you just say, God, I'm sorry, should not have done that, help me to get my life together, that's when you can say, Lord, I believe there's a way out. There's a plan for me. And that's what Saul was praying about. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to turn. He didn't know where to go. Couldn't see. But he was praying. If you can just pray about that problem, if you can just pray about that darkness that you're going through right now, if you can just go to God in prayer, don't tell him what to do. Don't say, God, you need to do this, A, B, and C. No. Get rid of your alphabets. Because when God blesses, he does so in a way that you can't number it. You can't categorize it. As the old folks say, he moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And you got to trust him. You got to trust him. So when we think about the things that we have to deal with, here's Saul praying. Here's Ananias in a conversation with God. You got to tell me more. My intelligence is telling me, here's this guy. And he wants to destroy us. And you want me to go over there and tell him that you're going to bless him. So he's having problems. What if God gave you an assignment? What would be the things that will keep you from saying, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do? I know one of them. I don't have time. Say yes. Then the second one, oh, you got no money. Right? Broke folk. All right, that's what I call them, broke folk. But when we think about this, we've got to get out of that safety zone. And what do you do when you get out of your safety? You're going to seek God's will. You want to seek his will. How do you know his will? He's going to tell you. Something that God wants you to do, he will tell you. Now, there are certain processes that we can help in that. There's certain things that you can do that will help you to discover God's will. One is learning. When you engage in the learning process, now you're saying, I believe there's something for me in my life. Let me not just sit down and do nothing. Let me try to learn. That's why you go to school. And I would advise anyone, if you don't go to college these days, I don't know, you're limiting yourself. Well, people at college can't tell me anything. Well, that's your one problem. You got to get over this thing. You know everything. Amen. Amen. So when we think about that, now seeking God's will. But the other thing is we got to take a different look. You've got to start looking at people as harmful. Now, why would you stop looking at people as harmful? Because God has made you an irrevocable promise that He will take care of you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will show you what you need to do. If you're already protected, why do you feel that people are a threat? They can only do to you what God allows. Amen. Now, the Lord is changing His mind. He's getting Ananias to see. Here's a person in need. Ananias, you got to go and respond to him. You got to do that. God had to give him insight. Notice the Lord could have just, back in my day, if you backtalked your parents, now the children would get on the phone. I'm gonna call social services on you. Jay tried that one time. I'm going to call social service. I said, you know what? Let me give you something else to call them about. Now, before y'all say, well, Pastor, believe in child abuse. No, I believe in child correction. Amen. But the other thing that we're going to have to guard ourselves against, we're going to really be careful with, don't let your past experiences dictate what's going to happen in your future if you're walking by faith. If you're saying you're walking by faith, don't expect to see everything, know everything, and have it all figured out, because God is going to take you into unknown territory. He's going to have you on a path of faith that He's going to say, if you hold on to my hand, I will take you to the destination, I will show you what needs to be done, and I will give you strength to get there. Look at it this way. When He told Saul to get up, he was blind, but the Lord had already had some other people so that they could guide him by the hand and lead him to the place where he needed to be. There's always going to be help available if you're willing to go. Amen. So you've got to be willing. You can't look back at your past. And that's why I love to go to church. I love to go to church because there's this thing called forgiveness. Whether people forgive you or not, that does not matter. Whether they're going to look at you sideways, twisted, or whatever, that does not matter. Because when God forgives you, He cleans the slate. He wipes away every tear. He wipes away every transgression. God purifies you in a way so that when you walk forward, you can walk forward free. And I want to say to whoever I'm talking to online, if you've not forgiven yourself, get out of God's seat, because anyone who does not forgive, they're trying to play God. Amen. Forgive yourself and start saying, God, if you got a future for me, I'm willing to live it. I'm willing to step forward. I'm willing to do what you would have me to do. And watch God bless you. Don't go around like Linus with this cloud over your head. You know, everywhere you go, there's this cloud. By the way, Linus is, that's the Peanuts thing. So I think the kids got it. Okay. So you've got to be able to walk out and say, God, I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to honor your name. I'm willing to do what you would have me to do. The trust factor involves these two things: following God's direction and leaning on God for strength. Following God's direction, leaning on God for strength. Here's Ananias. Remember, Saul's praying now. He's praying. And the Lord said to him, Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and asked for a man from Tarsus named Saul. I thought about this, Al, when I thought about the GPS system. You know, they got the global positioning. And by the way, your phone is really one of those global positions. It's got a little 1-168, whatever. It's got a thing where the satellite, as long as you're in a position, it knows where you are. But guess where they got that technology from? They got it from God. He knew where Saul was, knew where he was staying, and not only that, he said he's praying. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that it was not until Saul engaged in prayer that it reached heaven, but God had to say to him, Saul, I got to send somebody to tell you about the Holy Spirit, because before I can send you blessing, you got to get into the family of faith. You've got to get born again. And the only way you can get born again is by the Spirit of the living God. Anybody born again in here? Anybody know that the Spirit comes upon you and gives you new life? He prayeth. I like that verse. He prays. So Ananias had to overcome his doubts, his fears, and say, God, I'm willing to go. And it wasn't until the Lord had explained to him, he is a chosen, not only a chosen, my chosen instrument to proclaim the name, my name to the Gentiles. Let me just say this, church, and then I'm going to move on and close. Don't label people by what they did. Let me say that again. Do not label people by what they did, because you don't know what God is doing in them now. Amen. You might think they're nasty folk and I just need to not do any, not to. Don't go there. Because when you go there, you get a mirror and look at yourself and ask yourself, have I always been clean? Have I always done things the way that I should have? Before you point the finger, realize that you have three fingers pointing back to you and one finger pointing up to heaven saying, God is the judge of everybody. If the Lord says to you, I want you to do this assignment, you'd better believe he's already made a way for you. After all, he's a way maker. He made a way for you to get out of your sin. He made a way for you to overcome your shortcomings. Some of you have been in church for a long time, and I know that you had to have some ups and downs in your life. You had to depend on God because you were stuck in stuff that you couldn't get out of, but the Lord had to deliver you. That's why I'm glad about it. I'll tell people anytime, I was on my way to hell. I was headed for destruction. But the Lord turned me around. I'm so glad to be saved today. And guess what? I'm going to put a smile on my face and I'm going to act like it, because I know that Jesus is real. And anytime God Almighty took time with you and me, you ought to be willing to take time for somebody else. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Let me hurry up and close this argument here. We got to get Ananias over to Straight Street. Y'all ready to get him over there? Or he over at his house hanging out, making excuses and talking about this and that. And the Lord said to him the second time. He told him the first time to go, but then he had an excuse. Then he told him the second time, go. You know that the Lord has spoken to us and telling us go as well. Go on and do what you're supposed to do. Go ahead and carry out that assignment. Because when you do that, God is going to make room for you to do more. To him that hath shall more be given, but the one that has not, it will be taken away, even that which he has. You got to make sure that you're available and that you're going and sharing what God has given you to do. Here's the way it played out. Here's how the trust actually gets some wheels on there. And I call this the details of trust. Got certain details and things you got to follow. It's location. The Lord says he's over there on Straight Street. I looked it up and actually, Straight Street simply means Straight Street. In the Greek, it means Straight Street. But isn't it interesting that God would send him to such a place where he would get his life together? You might even say the church is a straight street. It's a place where people can come in thinking crooked, twisted thinking. I'm working on a series now about how we build idols. We think that they're some piece of metal or maybe some precious jewel that we shape into an idol. Do you not know that your attitude can be an idol? Anytime there's anything in your life that says, I won't do what God wants, I'm going to do this, that's an idol. Now, all of us have built them. All of us have bowed down to our own idol, like young people. When they get 21, like they don't know how to multiply. I'm 21 now. I can go to ABC store. Yeah, you can go there. Doesn't mean you can control what gets in your body.
Amen.
You can do a lot of things when you get 21. Mm-hmm. But you're going to find out that unless you acknowledge God as your Lord, you're headed for trouble. Let me ease your mind. Let me just share with you. It's better to obey than to build your idol and have to suffer as a result of it. Are y'all still here? As they say in real estate, location, location, which means God will put you in a certain place for a reason. He will put you there. It doesn't mean that you got to stay there, but you've got to stay there long enough to accomplish what he wants done. We've had a lot of people that have come through Crossroad. Some have moved south, some have moved north, others have moved to other places, and they're serving there. But they came here, and the question was, why? Why did God want them here at that specific time in their life? It is to build you up in your faith, to make you confident that the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to use you in a mighty way. Think of it. Here is Ananias, and there is Saul. One seems to be just going to an individual and tell him about it, but he's a part of a bigger plan. Every one of us, you're part of a bigger plan. It's not about just this church. It's not about the pastor. It's about honoring God and doing what he wants done. Look at somebody, tell him, you better get in your location. Second thing that becomes critical to us, being in the right place, but meeting the need. You got to see it before you can do it. You got to see it before you can do it. Everything that is done is always for the glory of God. Now, Ananias had a clear understanding, Saul needs me. At first he was a threat, but now he's somebody I can help. It's called ministry, folk. It's called going out and sharing. Saul was blind. He hadn't really taken on the name and the role as Paul, but he's getting ready to. God says, and I love the way it puts it in this. It says, he's my chosen instrument. He belongs to me. He is my servant, and I am going to use him in a powerful way. He's going to have to suffer. But that's all right. I'm still going to use them for my glory. So the need. Let me ask you, how many people do you see in your weekly walk, in your daily walk, where there's a need? Second question is, what do you plan to do about it? Are you just going to walk by every day and think, well, you know, God bless you? Well, number one, they didn't sneeze. And James will tell us, if that's all you're going to do is say, God bless you, why not render a service? You may not be able to do a lot, may not be able to say a lot, but do what you can. You are equipped with the power of God. One other point, and then we're going to close. The plan. This plan of God is going to be carried out. This plan of God is going to be accomplished. There wasn't an apostle to the Gentiles up until that point. Why? Well, they felt like that their mission was to the Jews. Peter, at one point, he did go to the Jews, but go to the Gentiles outside of that. But others were rebuking him and finding problems with it. But it was God's plan from the beginning to also include the Gentiles with the pouring out of the gospel. How do you think we got it here? Somebody had to tell somebody. Amen. And they told somebody else, who told somebody else, and then they told somebody else. But they didn't go around with a long face and, oh, I hate doing this job. Let me tell you about Jesus. No, they were excited. Why were they excited? Because of this thing called the Holy Spirit. Yes. When you got the Holy Spirit, it gives you joy. You know, despite the fact that others don't like you, despite the fact that when you go to some folk, they're going to cuss you out. And you say, God bless you, you have a good day anyhow. How can you do that? Because you got something that's moving on the inside that refuses to allow you to lose your joy. He's a mighty good God. And so the Lord said to him the second time, he said, now, this is a chosen vessel. This man has been selected by me. I know where he is. I know what he's doing. And I'm getting ready to use him on my mission. I'm going to use him in a mighty way. And the Bible says, look at it. It says in verse 15, go, this man is a chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Verse 17, now Ananias got everything that he needs. Is he going? You better believe he's going to go. He's going to run and tell somebody about Jesus. He's going to run and tell somebody the good news. Let me tell you something. When I had a taste of the Holy Spirit and the Lord came in my life such a powerful way, I started running, Miss Cabla, and I didn't know why I was running. And Kathy, I started running, and I said, wait a minute. Look, people are looking at me. And guess what? I kept running. Amen. Because in my life, I had something that had set me free from every sin, every transgression that I had ever committed. And I knew for once in my life that God loved me. I knew that. And I had that joy. And the first person I ran to, I said, have you heard about Jesus? He said, who is Jesus? I said, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. Didn't know a lot about the Bible. I was telling him in Revelation, whatever. And I say this and that, but I had to tell somebody the good news. When you get excited, when you get a taste of that Holy Spirit, when you understand that you don't have to get it from a bottle, you don't have to pay for it on the corner, you don't have to go out and indulge in pleasure. You can just pray and God will fill your life with such peace and with such understanding about his will. It will cause you to overflow. I close by sharing this with you. Can it be done? Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had a natural example of how stuff can spread. 2019. In the fall of the year, somebody way over in China got a fever. They didn't think much of it. Nobody knew the word isolation. Corona what? It started with one person. They caught it. Didn't know what they had, gave it to somebody else. That's fine. That's China. Next thing you know, it spread to another nation. Now they got it. Now people are spreading. It got into Europe. How in the world did it get over the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, all the way to the United States? But it got here. Amen. And it didn't take long. Amen. Here's my point. If we can let a bad thing spread, we lost loved ones because of something bad. We lost people, and people had to go through that time of sickness because of something. We didn't want to spread it. But all you had to do was get around somebody, sneeze or cough, and they would catch it. Let me tell you something good. There is this gospel called Jesus Christ, and it's good. Spread it. It's not going to hurt anybody. Spread it. Spread it. Spread it. Speak it. Tell them to love God. And guess what? They're going to catch what you got. They're going to start running. They're going to start shouting. They're going to share the goodness of God. Shout yes, somebody. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How do you know you got it? When I caught corona, I thought I was going to die because something got a hold of me. But when I caught Jesus, I thought I was going to live. I'm alive. Praise God. I caught it. And guess what? I haven't got over it yet. As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep it all the way to glory. Anybody going to join me? Anybody going to join me? I started to say something. Catch it, catch it, catch it. Catch it, catch it, catch it. Catch it, catch it. Because when you do, your life will never be the same. Y'all got time for one more point? I know you're getting ready. I know we got to serve communion. Sometimes when you got something good, you just need to stir it up. Mel, what we would do back in the old house where we used to live in, Mama would have a pot of beans on the stove, right? Been there all day long. You didn't just dip in and get what you, in order to get the good beans, you had to. Are y'all in the house? What God had to do with Ananias, he knew that Ananias was saved because he saved him. All God had to do was stir him up. And when God, oh God, when he stirred him up, Ananias said, I just can't wait to get over there. Here's the end of it. He came in, didn't call him enemy Saul, didn't call him persecutor Saul. He said, brother Saul. Isn't that something? Call your enemy your brother. That's when you know you're saved. That's when you know you got the Spirit of God. I got to sit down. I'm over time. But when you stir it up, you won't be afraid. You can go with boldness and tell people about the goodness of God. That's all I'm asking you to do. I hope some of y'all got stirred up today. If you stirred up, just kind of. You ain't got to stand up. Just kind of wave your hand and say, I got it. 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 Before we close today, I want to give the invitation. There might be someone who's not been infected with this gospel. And what I want to do is to give you an invitation. All you got to do is to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. And God will do just that. Amen. He will save you. He'll turn your life around. He'll give you his precious gift of the Holy Spirit that will live with you and guide you for the rest of your life. Now, I'm going to give the invitation in here for those to come down, but I can't do that for those that are online. But if you're online and you've been convinced that you need Jesus, open your heart, say that prayer, and God will certainly save you. You don't have to necessarily come to this church, but go to some place and tell somebody what Christ has done. I'm going to ask that we all stand. If you're not a member of the church and would like to become one, we invite you to come with everyone.
Early this morning, my heart was
thinking that Sheila Austin was already a member. I was thinking that Peggy Davis was already a member. But then they informed me that they wanted to join. And so we thank God for them. Brother Norvell, been singing with him for years. I was thinking that he was already a member, but he said he had been fellowshipping with the Antioch Baptist Church and wanted to come home to see a crossroad. And so based on their Christian experience, can I get a motion that we would receive Sheila Austin, Peggy Davis, and Novell Anderson as members of our church?
I motion that. Y'all help now.
Sheila Austin.
Peggy Davis. And Novell. Become a member of the Crossroads Baptist Church. Christian experience.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say a second. Proper movement second to receive Sheila Austin. Peggy Davis and Novell Anderson on their Christian experience. All in favor, let it be known by the usual sign. Aye. Any contraries? So moved and carried. Y'all got to stop fooling me. Amen. Let us greet them in love and thank God for them, for their fellowship, and for the blessing that they are in our lives. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. You all to go over and join DeWarren. I think she's here. Okay. And Ophel. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We'll be greeting them in our fellowship at the close of this service. But as we prepare to serve our communion, if there are any that need to be served, raise your hand and we'll have someone to bring. Night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it, and he took also the cup and blessed it as well. Let us pray. God, we thank you for giving all that you had, your body and your blood, for our redemption. We receive this with gladness. We receive it, God, that it might bless us and help us and encourage our faith in you, change it from its natural use to a spiritual use, that it might help us to be armor bearers and those that will carry the cross of Christ wherever we go. Let us now take the bread and let us eat together. Now let us take the cup and let us drink together. And the Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, that they went out into the Mount of Olives singing a hymn. Brother Joe is going to come and bless the offering and dismiss us. But have you enjoyed the Lord today? As we go out, we would want you to remember that giving unto the Lord is a blessing as well. We express our gratitude for His love and His grace. Amen.
Father, we thank You for the message, O God, that You have given to us through Your men servant. Lord, we rely on You for everything. And even, O God, that we've been blessed, Father, to be participants in giving. May, O God, this offering be used for uplifting people up, especially those who are depressed and without Christ. And for those, O God, who are soldiers of the cross, may they be encouraged. So we ask the blessing upon